Why did Jesus die? Now, here in Kenya, Tunajua Kwamba, Unkiamba Watu Swalihi, say, why did Jesus die? Actually, most of them won't know. We know if we ask them, Je, wewe ni Mkristo watasema, and ndio mimi ni Mkristo. But if you ask them, actually, what is the meaning of Jesus' death, they won't know it. Ukisema, Je, anjili ni nini? They won't know. Or they'll give you a very confused answer, actually, according to the Bible. And so these verses 20 na 5 na 20 na 7, they will help us very much to understand the meaning of the cross. Now, wherever Christianity is in the world, you'll find this sign, a cross, msalaba. Now, the Bible never actually tells us to put crosses in our buildings or to wear them round our necks. But still, it's true, wherever you find Christians, you'll find crosses. Have you ever thought about that? It's something very strange, actually. If you had come into the room this morning and you found that we had some rope for hanging people and we put it up there on the wall, you'd say, who are these people? What are they doing? You know, if I'd got an axe and I'd got an axe and I put it before me on the table, you'd say, why, he's brought an axe with us. But a cross was for putting someone to death in a very painful way. It was for hanging them up until their life had gone from them. So why is the cross so important? Apostle Paulo alisema, let me never boast unless it's in the cross of my Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I don't want to boast about anything apart from the death of Jesus. Now, why should anyone boast about a death? Kita chekwenza tutaweza kuomba, sorry, kuona. That the cross is about God's justice. In the passage we read, you've seen the word righteous or righteousness a few times. Now that's to do with being just, to do with being in the right. In verse 10, none of us are righteous. Verse 20, God's law will declare nobody righteous. Did you know that? You want to stand before God on the day of judgment. Now, unataka kusema, mimi nimeti sharia la Mungu. Lakini neno la Mungu linasema, hapana, hakuna mtu ambayo ameti neno amri ya Mungu. No one will be righteous by the law. The law shows us our sin, says verse 20. Then verse 21 continues to talk about God's righteousness. Verse 22, righteousness. And it speaks about being justified. To be justified is to be declared righteous. Somebody says that you are in the right, you have kept the law. At these verses especially we're looking at, verse 25, speaks about God demonstrating his righteousness. And then again in verse 26, God demonstrating, showing us his righteousness. You can see that God is very concerned about justice. Sasa Niki Sema, Jay, are you concerned about justice? Kilumtu Watasema, Dio. It's very important to me. But is it really? Because we know if we go to the police station and we have some problem, justice can be cancelled for a few hundred shillings, can't it? Or if you've got a court case, justice can be delayed for years and years and forever if you just give a few hundred, a few thousand shillings. And so justice, people say, it matters, but it doesn't matter very much. Now I know if I come and do something bad to you, if I, you know, I steal your phone, or I take something out of your house, then you'll be very concerned about justice. But actually, if someone comes to you and says, you've done wrong to me, will you be as concerned then? When you have done wrong against someone else, are you as concerned
You're just the same concerned as when they did wrong to you? Well, God is fully concerned about justice, infinitely concerned about justice. God is not like man. Now, verse 25 uses the word forbearance towards the end of the verse. That means patience, God waiting for something. But he doesn't wait forever. Now, we can get angry very quickly, and God doesn't get angry very quickly. But God is a holy God and will never forget the matter of justice. That's what we see actually in these verses. See that God's law will condemn us all. God can't be bribed. He can't be given any money. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. We're using this book, the letter to the Romans, and there are some other parts which tell us these things, which speak about God's anger, about God's concern about sin, and so about punishing sin, about justice. In the first chapter, it tells us that the anger of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of men, who suppress the truth by their wickedness. God from heaven reveals his anger against all people because of their wickedness. And at the end of that chapter, it says that people know God's good laws, and they know that God says that we deserve death, but still we continue in our sins, even though we know God hates it and that we deserve death. Or chapter 2 of this letter says that we store anger up for the day of judgment. It says that on that day, God's right judgment will be revealed. It says that God will give to every person according to their deeds. Not according to our desires. We have good desires sometimes. But according to our deeds, what we have done. It says later in that chapter that on that day of judgment, God will judge men's secrets through Jesus Christ. Perhaps also you know this verse from the same book. It says, the wages of sin is death. Mishahara Yazambi ni ukifu. And God will always pay wages. God will give what is deserved. So do you see the problem? Do you see the condition you're in without Christ? Tu no eza kusa hao vitu hivi nirahisi sana kwasi. Just to put it aside. Just to delay it forever. To find some way. But God is not like us. God, to save anybody, must do it with justice. Not by forgetting sin. Now in England we say, brushing it under the carpet. Perhaps if you have a carpet somewhere, you can just lift it up and all the dirt goes underneath and you put it down. And then you can pretend it's not there. But God does not do that. The only way for God to save anybody, it must be a just way. Sin must be punished. Sin must be dealt with. Sin can never be forgotten. God is not one of those judges or politicians that we know so well who says, well, let's just delay this. No, God is a God who will punish all sin. And that is why the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ is the heart of the Christian message. That's why we preach it. That's why Paul said we boast about it if we're Christians. So look at verse 25. It tells us what God did at the cross. God presented Christ as a sacrifice which would turn aside his wrath taking away sin through the shedding of his blood. Through the cross of the Lord Jesus, sin is not forgotten. No, it's dealt with. Now here's a real truth, justice and reconciliation commission, where God brings justice by presenting a sacrifice for sins. His Son, the perfect sacrifice. His Son, who never did anything wrong. His Son, who is holy and infinite and glorious, is offered as a sacrifice. So that God's anger, here called his wrath, can be turned away from us. Turned away from us and all placed on the Lord Jesus Christ when he died at Calvary. So then our sin taken away, placed on Jesus. Jesus pays the price, and then the whole price is paid. Lada una pokea, the bills, toka KPLC, get bills for your electricity. Na uta enam gini kulipa. Na sasa, weki kuja tena, na waka kupa bill tena, bill ya sawa, je, utalipa tena. No, you'll say, nimelipa, I paid already, it's done. You won't say, oh, you brought me the bill again, let me pay it again. And then they bring it again the next day, you say, well, let me pay it again. No, you'll say, it's paid, I owe you nothing. If you are believing in Jesus Christ, you can say, it's paid. I owe God nothing. Jesus gave the whole amount at Calvary. And so there's nothing remaining. Now in verse 25, at the end of the verse, Paul speaks about people of God in the Old Testament. See, the last sentence, let me just read it. Says, he did this to demonstrate his righteousness or justice, because in his forbearance, his patience, he had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. Talking about sins that were done before Jesus came, before Jesus died. So we think about people of God before Jesus came. In your Bibles, in those early books, think of people like Abraham or Jacob. Or, a little later, David, King David. Those people went to heaven, the Bible says. They were saved, they were friends of God. But do you know all those people? Abraham, sometimes he told lies, or sometimes he didn't go God's way. Abraham was promised a son. But that son was to come through his wife, Sarah. But the time came when he said, well, this is taking too long. Where is the promise of a son? Perhaps I should go to my servant girl, Hagar, and we'll get the son through her instead. And so he didn't go God's way, and his trust in God's promises was a bit faulty. Or Jacob. No, Jacob, he got his inheritance by deceiving his father. And he told his father that he was Esau, his brother. And the inheritance, his father wanted to give it to Esau, but he deceived his father and got it to himself. Or David, you know the things he did. He killed, and he deceived, and he committed adultery. He took Bathsheba to be his wife. And Bathsheba's husband, a man called Uriah, was sent into the fighting to be killed, and he was killed. Yet these men went to heaven. How did they do that? The answer is in verse 25. The sacrifice of Jesus. And so you can see, God did not just say, oh, sin doesn't matter to me. God didn't say, well, let me just forget it. No, God knew that Jesus was coming. God knew the sacrifice at Calvary, and so their sins, when he came, could be placed on him and punished. And the devil can't come and say, what kind of God is this? Who is this God who receives murderers and adulterers and liars and unbelieving people into heaven? How does God do that? No, because we can point to the cross and say, there's the full price, fully paid. How were people saved who lived before Jesus? Now, I teach at a Bible college. It's up at Caps of Bet. I always ask my students this question. How were people saved in the Old Testament? And often they say, they kept the law. And I say, no, they didn't keep the law. Have you read the law? They keep breaking it. Or they say, they gave some sacrifices of animals, bulls and goats. And well, they gave those sacrifices. But you know, a bull and a goat doesn't have a soul. A bull or a goat wasn't made to know God. Those are just animals. That's not a good price to pay. If you kill the president and you say, well, let me give you a gift. I'll give you my dogs. They won't then spare you. They won't say, that's okay, that's a good price. No, men and women have sinned. And it must be a man who dies. It must be a perfect man who dies. That's why Jesus Christ came. Those Old Testament people were saved because of the death of the Saviour. God promised to send a Saviour, and he did. Now look at verse 26. Jesus died, he says, to demonstrate, to show God's justice, God's righteousness at the present time. Now, so that God can be just, and the one who justifies, who makes right, those who have faith in Jesus. How can you be saved today? When God is holy, when God burns with anger against sin, how can you be right with God today? Because Jesus has paid the price for everyone who believes. And so you can point to that cross and say, there it is. God demands nothing more. His anger is satisfied. God can be right to receive me even today. Wetu, wetu, wetu. Hawa elewe we, vitu hivi. Hawa elewe msalaba ya Yesu Kristo. Kwa sababu, hawa jui utukufu la Mungu. They don't know his righteousness. They don't know his justice. They don't care to see God honored. You know, if God can somehow forgive them, they're very happy. But God's glory, God's justice, those are small things to them. But if God is small to you, then you're not a Christian. And you're not saved. Until you've seen God as so big, until you've seen God's glory as everything, until you know that God made the world of his glory, and he will never compromise his glory. He will never put aside his justice. Until you know that, you don't know God at all. But when you know that, you'll run to the cross of Jesus Christ. When you see that God's justice must be satisfied, you'll run to the cross as your only hope. Now, the Apostle Paul, he said some great things about the cross. Once he went to a city called Corinth. In those places, they loved teaching, they loved philosophy, they loved learning. Paul said, when I came to Corinth, I was determined that I would only know Jesus Christ and him crucified. I didn't come to give them some great education. I didn't come to give them some great philosophy. But to show them the power of God in the cross of Jesus. I've read you one already. in another book of the Bible to the Galatians. He said, "May I never boast except in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world is crucified to me and I am crucified to the world." My old life ended when I trusted in Jesus' death on the cross. All the things I cared about, all the things I wanted in this world, I didn't want them anymore, because I knew that Jesus was mine and I was his. I was going to heaven to be with him, and nothing else really mattered. I knew that God was mine and I was God's. The cross of Jesus, the death of Jesus, needs to be everything to you if you're going to be saved. When God's Spirit is at work, people love to think about and hear about Calvary. It's not a lot of noise that shows you the presence of God. We can make a lot of noise very easily. You don't need God to have some chaos. But you need God to show you Jesus dying for your sins. So, where is the cross of Jesus in your thinking? That'll show you if you're a Christian or not. If I ask you, "Je, where in Christo?" Alada utasema, "Nina enda kanisa, nina soma Biblia, nina omba, nina jaribu kuti sharia la Mungu." But where is the cross? Do you say, "Dio, mimi in Christo, qua sababu, Jesu Christo, ame lipa be yote, ame kufam salabani, ame fufuka kunipa wakovu, peke yake"? Is that your testimony? That's the testimony of a Christian. If your friend comes to you and asks you, "What is the good news? What is the gospel?" Will you speak about the cross? It's because of the cross that we know there's a hell. Tunajua kwamba pana moto, a fire that lasts forever. And we know it because of Calvary. Because when the sins of the people of God were placed on Jesus, God did not say, "Well, let's stop there. You're my son. I love you. I can't punish you." No, when the sins of God's people were placed on Jesus, Jesus had to die. There was no escape for him. The only way to save those people was for Jesus to die. And he loved them so much that he did it. And do you think God will spare you? If he didn't spare his one and only beloved son, do you think he'll let you into heaven without Jesus? No, he won't. Sin has to be punished, and there's only two places. Your sin can be punished at Calvary, where Jesus died. Or your sin can be punished when you enter the eternal fire. But God will punish sin. He is the governor of the world, and he won't forget any of it. Can you bear to go to sleep tonight thinking you might be unforgiven? Can you bear to close your eyes to sleep, not knowing if you'll wake up tomorrow morning, or if God will take you away during the night? Can you bear to do anything in this life? Or to go on getting food, paying your rent, doing the work, yet not knowing if you're right with God? Not knowing if God's justice is still above you? That cloud is going to burst over you and shower down God's anger on you? How can you carry on living, not knowing if you're right with God? And yet you can know that you're right with God. Look at the middle of verse 25. To be received by faith. Faith, that just means believing. The end of verse 26. God justifies, that is, he declares them right, those who have faith in Jesus. So there's no work to do There's no price to pay. You just rely on Jesus. You just trust the promise that he's giving you now. We can say the words, Jesus died for my sins. But is that really your hope? Is that your boasting? Is that your glory? That God is satisfied. Nikki Uliza, Je, Utingir Binguni? Je, Ukifika Amlanguni. Yeah, Binguni. Na Watasema. Oh, Nataka Kungir Hapa. Kwanini. Kwanini Lazima. We let you in. Utasema Nini. Lazima Useme Hi. Jesu Christo Ame Lipa. Ame Lipa Beyote. Ali Kufa Msalabani na Ali Fufuka. That's all. That's the way of salvation.